soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. The magic of Michael Carolair with our new intros. Hope you like them. We'd love some feedback on those. Good help there from Victor Ariza as well as we pulled some old school goal calls out. So two different segments that are supporting the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, we're going to go to a quick phone call. Eddie Robinson, Glenn Davis here. You got Tab Ramos coming up after us, so he's going to answer some very interesting questions as well about some of the topics we're talking about. Ryan, real quick, what's on your mind, Ryan?
Hey, first off, thank you guys for everything you do for the soccer community in Houston. Secondly, what do the Dynamo need to do to bring in that fan base that I feel like they've lost over the last few years, specifically like product wise on the field compared to what we used to do when we were successful?
Product wise, you mean playing style?
I mean playing style, and then also like what Eddie was alluding to, like I felt like there was like heart, there was grit. Like I feel like I don't see that anymore.
Well, I think you answered your own question. You want more grit and determination. I wouldn't say the team last year wasn't full of effort, but I'm not. You know, it's a pretty tough comparison with that team back in the day at Robertson Stadium and the accountability amongst those men. And I put that in parentheses, men. Yeah, that's a long one to answer. I want to stick to the roster right now. So, Ryan, why don't you come back on the show again, and we'll take a deeper dive into that, okay? Okay, cool. So thanks to Ryan for that. It's not a one-part answer. There's a lot of differing things that will have to happen, and that would take a long time to go to. All right, Eddie, let's start with – all right, so Tab Ramos acquiring a lot of guys that can play in wide areas. Fafa Pico for pace, Mateo Bahamic coming from Instituto, right? You've got Lassiter, you've got Hansen, you've got Nico Lemoine. So you have, or you got a Rudy at center forward and Ramirez. I'm thinking the front three will come out of those guys. If it does, Eddie, and Quintero plays as a 10 behind them, right, as one of the three midfielders, where does that leave Memo Rodriguez?
I don't know. I think that Memo is an underrated player in this league. I think that when he's given his opportunity, and you talk about grit and we talk about fight, I think he's got that. You know, he's not the biggest kid. I think I mentioned to you during one of the broadcasts that he's bulked up a little bit. He's gained some weight.
Hold on. We know all that. We know he's a damn good player. We know he had a great season. I'm just saying, with the makeup of this roster, I don't think, and Tab Ramos will be asked this question in the next segment, Quintero's not going to start on the left as one of the front three, right?
Well
he could. I'm not being the coach here, but he could, which means you want Memo as an interior midfielder. That's where he thrives. That's where he has played his best games. Remember, you and I went through all those games with him playing out wide with at the time, the coach, Wilmer Cabrera. So, you know, this is interesting because who does that leave? Vera and Corona, potentially, or Derek Jones?
I don't think you can play him as a 10. I think he has to be out on the wing, because when he was most effective was when he was coming into the midfield, when he was coming up underneath, playing underneath the 9. Darwin Quintero, when he lined up as a 10, and that was almost every time after a substitution was made, and they brought on a different winger for a midfielder, and they moved him into the middle, the team was not effective going forward. But when Darwin Quintero started on the wing and creeped inside and fell in between the midfield and the back four of the opponent. He got on the ball a lot, but he also opened up a lot of space, especially on the left wing, for Lundqvist to get forward. So for me, that's where he's most effective. So at his age, you know, I mean, he's 33. You know, he's not getting any younger. Is he going to be able to play every game? If you play him, do you want him in the midfield, having to chase back and forth? Because the way Dynamo play, get the wingers going forward. Include the midfield. There's usually only one holding six. So one of the other two has to track back. Is he going to be able to do that? I don't think so.
I don't think he's ever done that, and I don't think you want him to do that. I'm just saying, if you're signing Bahamic, and he's one of your big signings, Pico is one of your big signings, these guys have to play. And I think this is a good problem. First of all, let's just make that clear. This is a good problem because there's going to be a ton of competition. Plus, we all know a starting 11, well, that can change very quickly in a condensed season, and you're going to need a lot of players. You're going to need 20 deep, right? But I just think it brings up a lot of really interesting things, because if Quintero is at the top of that midfield or a part of it, he's not a guy that's that good when the ball's lost. Those front three are going to be working their tails off in this 4-3-3 for Tab Ramos. So you're going to have some cover behind them. And you know, is that Vera? Is that Corona? Is that Darwin Serén? Now, we've said guys have had great seasons last year. That's all in the context of not making the playoffs. So I think that's all out the window. I just think this is – the fact that there's a lot of choices and we're discussing it is a good thing.
Yeah, of course. And I think there's a person that we're leaving out of this conversation, and that's Marcelo Palomino. The few minutes that he's gotten, I've been impressed. For as young as he looks the part. He's in there, and I would love to see him get more minutes. I think he's going to push for more minutes this year, and I think that's a really good thing. I think that between Vera, Serén, and Corona, there's going to be two that are going to have to do the defensive work. You're going to have to let your attacking players attack. Mateo Bahamic, he's unproven. He's not playing in a top division right now.
He's being brought in, but we've been set up as he is one of the big signings for this team coming in. So, and Pico as well for his pace.
Well, again, Pico. If you look at Pico, Urruti, and again somebody else you and I haven't mentioned yet, Tyler Pasher, with his success in USL, you've got a lot here. Again, Corona, Derek Jones.
We haven't mentioned Christian Ramirez also as a nine with a Rudy.
You know, Sam Junkwa. I mean, you look at the roster that the Dynamo have currently, and we're not even talking about the draft picks yet. Ethan Bartlow, who to me reminds me a lot of an A.J. Cochran, and I think the Dynamo dropped the ball on A.J. Cochran. They ruined that. I think he could have been an outstanding center back in this league, but they didn't spend any time with him. And I think that has to happen with Bartlow. Somebody needs to just spend time with him, sit down with him, show him about the position, teach the little tiny pieces. But if Tab Ramos can figure out how to get the absolute best out of Pico, out of Urruti, out of Pasher, out of Derek Jones, out of Joe Corona, Serén, Vera, all these Junkwa, Tim Parker, I'm not worried about Tim Parker. He's the one I'm just not worried about.
No,
if he can get the best out of these guys, I think the starting 11 for the Dynamo can be absolutely outstanding, and this is a team that will make the playoffs.
But let me just stop you there, because we got 5 minutes left. Let me stop you there. So what we're basically doing here is we're saying there's a lot of potential combinations. There's a lot of ambitious players. There's a lot of competitive players. This should lift everybody's level here. This is a much stronger roster than Tab Ramos inherited, and there's going to be a lot of choices here. And by the way, Derek Jones, just FYI, you know, we saw him playing for Nashville in kind of an attacking role. He was born in Ghana. He is actually, in Tab's history with him, been used as a holding midfielder. Now, we saw how big and athletic he is. that could be that piece that they were hoping to get with Wilfried Zahibo. You mentioned Parker. Who do you think would partner him on opening day? Is it Minor Figueroa? What do you think?
Well, currently it's got to be Minor Figueroa. Yeah. Until we see what comes in with Bartlow. But I made no... there's no question. I like Alejandro Fuenmayor. I think he's fantastic back there. But, you know, Ethan Bartlow, when he comes into preseason, let's just say he really impresses. That he shows some maturity with the size that he has, the strength that he has, the speed that he has. Maybe he's there, but if right now, at this moment, I'm saying Tim Parker and Minor Figueroa would be the two that I choose.
Opening day. Yeah, so this is, I actually think this is great here because the more you and I keep talking about this, the more competition we see. We see Lundqvist and Junkwa at left back. You got Valentin Bach. Some other choices in the right back position. You got a ton of people fighting for time in midfield and a ton of people fighting up front. So this is going to be pretty interesting, but I do think this is a far more competitive, on paper roster here that is going to provide a lot more choices.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one last thing. This is my last thought. When I was playing, every preseason, we would sit down as a group with Dominic Kinnear, and he would list the achievements that we expected to, the goals that we expected to achieve during season. And one of them was always top three in the league and fouls committed. And most people are going to think, wait, what? That just shows fight. You're fighting to win the ball back. In all thirds of the field, you're committing fouls, you're fighting. That's what I want to see from this team. I want to see some aggression. I think this team has been soft for too long, and I want to see that, and I think Tim Parker is going to bring that, and I hope that he can put that stamp on this team.
Yeah, and that interview, I don't know if you got to hear the interview before when he was on, but he is 100% ready to accept the accountability factor and come in here. He knows why he's being brought here. I'm sure he's had that discussion with Todd Ramos as well. Now, one of the other interesting and tricky things is the Dynamo don't have RGV anymore. So for players that aren't getting playing time and are going to need it because all these guys aren't going to be able to play, we do know injuries will come into it. We know a heavy-laden schedule will come into it. But, you know, there will be players that will be loaned out this year, and they won't be loaned out with the guarantee of going down and playing places unless it's sort of a long-term loan, right?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the rest of the world, they don't call them soccer coaches. They call them managers. This is where Todd Ramos is going to earn his money. He's got to keep everybody happy. He's got to make sure that the best players are playing most of the minutes. But the guys that aren't playing, that are good players, that maybe deserve minutes, but they're just not quite above the player in front of them, he's got to keep them happy. And when they're called upon, whether it's Open Cup or something like whatever it is, they've got to, you know, toe the line. They've got to equal the level of the player in front of them. And that's up to Todd and his staff.
All right, Eddie, you got the last word. We got to go to a hard break. Great stuff tonight. Thank you for coming on. It's great to hear your voice again. I'm looking forward to the call of the game when we can get back to Major League Soccer. Let's hope this collective bargaining thing goes pretty quickly here. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Always love it. We'll do it again. Jose Bezama was the guy I was thinking about at the right back position, competing with Zarek Valentin. I think competition. I think depth. I think a lot of possible combinations. It's all on paper. But I think the Dynamo get really high marks for upgrading this roster with competitive players that are going to push each other. And a couple of key pieces, the one being Tim Parker at center back right now, seems to be the biggest. But there is a stockpile of guys up front now, and Rudy and Ramirez will be fighting for the center forward position, it looks like. So we'll see. But the type of players they have now will fit better in a 4-3-3 system, using that as the basis of your purpose of play over the course of the season. All right, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Take a break right now, and we're going to come back with the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. You'll hear it directly from him, Todd Ramos.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. How about a quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown? Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. In an X5 now, I always mention on the show that it took a 23 hours to New Jersey. It was an incredible drive. It was an incredible way to see America in an X5, an Advantage BMW Midtown. Got it done for me. Now, their customer service is second to none. They're going to cover you in sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. They'll take you through the whole process. You can get yourself in a 3, a 5, a 7 series at Advantage BMW Midtown. You can get an X5 like me. That's why I shop Advantage BMW Midtown, because you get a Houston hometown advantage. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Now, 17 cities will be vying for the 10 host spots in the U.S. for the 2026 World Cup. Yes, that's a long way out. I get it. But right now, the rankings coming from an article here that was from NBC by Joe Prince Wright. And Joe Prince Wright, out of the 17 teams, has the Houston market ranked at 13 and missing out. The cities that he believes will get the bids, obviously, New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Miami, Seattle. Atlanta jumps in there, probably because of the Atlanta MLS franchise. San Francisco, Dallas, Boston, Denver. So Dallas and Houston, which we thought both markets could potentially get the World Cup, according to this article, he doesn't think so. But again, this is just a ranking, and it's very subjective. All right, let's get into the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Tab Ramos. He's been keeping us updated on everything. Caught up with him earlier today. Here's Tab Ramos. All right, Tab, let's start it off with just all these new additions. These guys, to me, clearly look like men that are not going to be content being on a bench and are going to be driving for playing time. So with this addition of guys now, you know, I don't think there's any doubt you've put yourself in a position. You're going to have really hard decisions to make this year, which I assume is what you want.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, that's what you shoot for. You shoot to have a competitive roster in which everybody's fighting for every position. I mean, that's ideal. And I think we're putting ourselves in that type of position going into preseason.
All right, so last year, Darwin, you started him on the left sometimes, coming in inside, kind of a free role. Do you play him there again this year? What's in your mind? Or do you see him more as maybe a number 10 behind the front three? How do you see that at this time? And I know you got a lot of questions to be answered.
Yeah, and we also have to see how the team starts to gel together in preseason, because we have a lot of new players. And obviously, I like them all. And I think they all will compete. But we'll have to see how that comes together. The fact is, I think we have true wingers this year that can make a difference wide on both sides. You know, we have two lefties, we have two righties. So, you know, I think the team is much better compensated this year. We're not relying necessarily on any one player. But you know, as you look at it on paper now, it is unlikely that Darwin will end up playing that left-sided position coming inside. I mean, I don't want to commit to that, because obviously I have to see how the preseason goes. But right now, I think we address some positional challenges that we had, and I feel like we can play players more in their position this year.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo head coach, joining us here as we got the good news that preseason has been given a date. Major League Soccer expected to start in April, so we're happy about that. The draft choices, let's go into them a little bit. You know, the overall thoughts on that and how you felt about it. And you really made a great move getting Derek Jones out of Nashville as well.
Yeah, so the draft, you know, we knew that there was two or three players that were really talented that would go right away. The issue for us was that we thought that at the third pick, we would likely end up with either Mayaka or Pereira. And they were not, you know, we loved them both. I think they're both great players. The problem was that with the addition of Corona, we're already crowding the midfield. And when we got, you know, we received a good offer from Colorado, as everybody knows, because that's all public, to trade down and get a certain amount of money, and we could convert that money into Derek Jones. We felt like, wow, for the third pick, we can address our center back position, which is really what we need. And we knew a center back would not go in the top three spots. So we felt comfortable that at the sixth spot, we were going to get the center back we wanted. And at the same time, we could get Derek Jones. And so we ended up, you know, our third pick ended up being incredibly valuable. We knew that we passed on drafting a very good player because, you know, Mayaka, Harris, and Pereira are all great players, but they were not necessarily our need. And we ended up with Derek Jones and the best center back in the draft. So I think things worked out pretty well for us.
So let's talk a little bit about Derek Jones. And first, let me just lead you into, and it looks like a dogfight all over this team, especially in midfield and up front to get playing time. So we're talking about Darwin Serén, Matias Vera, Memo Rodriguez, Joe Corona, Derek Jones we throw into this mix. I'm probably missing somebody for sure. But man, that looks highly competitive to pick and find that right balance in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider that we likely play three in the center of the field, that, you know, likely Darwin Quintero goes into that mix too with all those guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's competitive, but that's what you want. I mean, we brought Joe Corona to play. We think he can play. We brought Derek Jones because we think he can play and make us better. So at the same time, Serén had a great year last year. You know, Vera's a consistent player. You know, I mean, we have a lot of competition for all those spots. And you know, right now we're talking on paper. So everybody sort of has to come back and prove themselves in preseason. And we'll be picking the guys who do best.
And Memo Rodriguez in that mix as well.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned Memo. That's
did
why.
Did I mention him? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't mention him.
Yeah, Memo had a great season. So, yeah, of course, he's not only in the mix, but we count on Memo to be in a very big part, an important part of the team if we're going to be successful. And he has to, you know, take that responsibility on his shoulders this year.
Talking to Tab Ramos as we continue on the Houston Dynamo talk here, let's just talk a little bit about that 4-3-3. Now that you're getting your own players, you're improving this athleticism that you were hoping to do, I think it's very brave of you to stick so strongly with this type of a system. It's entertaining. It's attractive. Do you think the outside understands how tough it is to put a team like this together? Because it's a little different than defending deep, right? I mean, I think if I had the choice of which two would degree of difficulty be harder to put on a field, I would definitely say it's being a protagonist in a 4-3-3.
I mean, it is more difficult, but I think, you know, sort of, you know, this is the way I see soccer, you know, like I see football, you know, in an attacking way. That's how my eyes see the game. And so I can't change the way I've been, you know, for 50 years, you know, to go into now, you know, okay, let's park the bus and try to stay in games. It's just not really what I'm about, and it's not really what I want to teach and what I'm comfortable teaching and what I'd like to see from my team. And so, you know, sometimes obviously, you know, and sometimes this happens to all coaches. You can go down because you're stubborn. I don't think I'm stubborn. I think I have a way of doing things. And I think when I came to the Houston Dynamo, I sort of explained what I wanted to do and how I want to play. And I think we demonstrated a lot of that last year. We didn't get the results we wanted, but I'm confident that this year will be different.
Tab, how important was it last year? Look, I got to know that there were moments during the season that you could have said to yourself, look, I could do something differently here and really switch gears, change things up in a big, big way, and it might give me a chance to get a few more results. But how important was it for you with the existing players to stay with the mindset of this system as a learning experience to set you up here for year two, when you're obviously going to have a little bit more input on getting the players that you want for that system?
Well, I mean, as a coach, you get through points of the season where you have to make a decision. And sometimes the easy decision is to say, okay, let's scrap everything we've done and let's just do this to try to survive. But I feel like as a coach that I would be sending the wrong message to the team. You know, and then so then if you fast forward to now, had we had that experience last year and had we gotten three more points or five more points because, you know, we just sat back and defended and changed everything that we had worked on from preseason, then we'd be looking at going into preseason this year with me telling players, okay, now this year we're going to do this. And maybe some players thinking, okay, we're going to do this for a little while. And then when it doesn't work, we're going to change it. And I didn't really want that because I've lived that as a player with coaches. I like coaches who were firm on what they believe. And of course, that doesn't mean, by the way, Glenn, and I want to take this disclaimer because it's important. It doesn't mean that we don't play a certain game where we're going to defend most of the time. Or we come out and we play LAFC and we decided for that one day that we're going to play 5-4-1 and defend. I mean, that's just part of any one particular game. But it's not our way. And we're not going to be working on that being our way. That will be patchwork for certain games, but it won't be the way we play.
Heard some interesting news. You've been working with some of the academy players. Tell me a little bit about that. And obviously that's tremendous crossover for those young men that get to work with the first team staff.
Yeah, so right now we have some guys in, and it's, you know, I think it's great because we've been in the offseason. This offseason has been really long. So fortunately, both Omid and I have been able to watch a lot of the academy games, in particular towards the end of December. And so we have a pretty good feel on what's down there. We feel like there's definitely going to be 5 or 6 players that will move up from the academy into the first team preseason and have them in, you know, what we, let's just call it our bubble, you know, so they can be doing the same testing and staying with us. And I think they deserve it. Now, you know, they're taking the step from being and participating in preseason to actually getting minutes on the first team, you know, that we can't guarantee. There's no particular formula for that. That's something that the players will have to earn on their own.
So that leads me to the next question. And I know you may not have the information yet. You're probably still trying to figure this out, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, guys like Marcelo Palomino, guys, some of these younger guys, Rios and all them, you know, what's going to be the plan for them to get minutes? Because you, with your history in youth development, you know it's important for them to get games and minutes. Where are they going to get those games and minutes, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to earn minutes. There's no question about that. At the same time, we're going to contemplate possibility of loaning some guys out and not necessarily to our own network, which would mean RGV, you know, because we can still send players down there. I think it may be beneficial for some of our players, and that could be, and I'm just throwing names out there, but it could happen, you know, Eric McHugh or Marcelo Palomino or some of the other guys. It may be more beneficial to be at another club where you have to earn your spot to play. So those are decisions still to be made. And they're not final, but they're possibilities.
Tab, as always, we thank you for coming on the program and giving us great insight here. The consistency is wonderful, and nothing like getting it from the coach.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Big thank you to Tab Ramos for all his time, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, and keeping us up to date on everything. Nothing like getting it from the coach. By the way, other Dynamo news today, I failed to mention this. They signed goalkeeper Kyle Morton. One season played with St. Louis FC in the USL Championship, 20 shutouts in 3 seasons in the USL. He's 6'4", 190 pounds from Westchester, Pennsylvania, and has played with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds as well, Rochester Rhinos. So Dynamo with another goalkeeper. That's 27 players on the active roster right now, and he played also at James Madison University, where he had 19 career shutouts. All right, stay with us. We're going to switch gears. We're going to go to the U.S. men's national team when we come back. They've got a friendly against Trinidad and Tobago this Sunday. We'll be joined by goalkeeper Matt Turner. That will be presented by Advantage BMW Midtown.
ESPN 97.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
John and his firm, personal injury attorney. Welcome back to the final segment of Soccer Matters here on ESPN. Tonight is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're bringing you soccer on the radio. They are bilingual. It's DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, they're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. They're also going to take care of you. If you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. United States will take on Trinidad and Tobago this Sunday. A very young roster. The most capped player on this roster is Josie Altidore. Likely getting the start in this game will be Matt Turner, the goalkeeper for the New England Revolution, who took the Revolution all the way to the conference final, only to lose to Columbus this past year in Major League Soccer. He is a story of up and down in the goalkeeping position, very similar to maybe a Tim Melia at Sporting Kansas City, and even Joe Willis, who had to wait his turn. Here's my interview with Matt Turner. Well, Matt, first thing I would just say is give us the overall impressions of kind of what the camp has been like under Greg Berhalter ahead of Sunday's game against Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, I think this camp's been great. A really unique opportunity for us senior players to be in the same room as the, you know, under 23 players, and a bunch of new faces learning a system together and sort of being able to bounce ideas off each other. And I'm sure a lot of the senior guys see themselves in some of the younger ones. So I think it was a pretty special experience for a lot of guys. And I know we worked really hard and we're looking forward to the game.
All right, let me talk specifically about you positionally and where you are, because I always find it interesting, a goalkeeper like you, you've got a goalkeeper coach in New England, Kevin Hitchcock. You come into camp with Aaron Hyde now, who's the U.S. goalkeeper coach. Did those two confer maybe before you come into camp? And they may have different ideas on goalkeeping, even technically maybe. That does that cause any sort of problems? How does that work?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it causes problems. And no, I'm not sure they're really working together too much. But at the end of the day, there's a style of play we play over in New England, and that's Kevin's job to get me ready for. And there's a style of play here with the U.S. men's national team that it's Aaron's job to get me ready to play for. So I have to have an open mind. I have to be able to flip switches on and off and understand systems and be able to, you know, answer the bell when my name is called. So it's definitely a unique challenge, and it challenges me mentally, tactically, physically, and I've really enjoyed it so far. I'm learning a lot more about the game and the different ways to approach it, and I think that will just help me to become a more well-rounded goalkeeper.
Talking to Matt Turner, goalkeeper for the U.S. men's national team, New England Revolution, maybe something specific from each guy that might be a little different that you've learned that might make it interesting for some of those in the goalkeeping union that might be listening in tonight.
Yeah, I'd say from Kevin in New England, he's really helped me a ton with the mental side of the game. He played 100 games for Chelsea in the Premier League. He coached at Manchester City, coached at Brad Friedel at Blackburn Rovers. So he's really helped me with my approach every single day in training mentally, and then my approach mentally in games. From his perspective, he likes games where he doesn't even notice that I'm there. That's what he, you know, would classify as a successful goalkeeper or a successful game for a goalkeeper. The games where his name's not called very much, he makes things look routine and easy, and occasionally makes a big save. And here, you know, you're kind of the director of traffic in a lot of ways in possession. So, making the right decisions, looking for ways to fool the defense and break lines and advance the attack up the field and set our guys up the field for better scoring opportunities. So a lot more of like a first line of attack approach, and also always staying connected to your back line and trying to be an option, you know, in build up and also help defend the space behind and be a bit of a sweeper keeper.
Yeah, how much of that has changed in your career? And obviously with the changes in the rules on goal kicks, it does put a little bit more pressure on everybody to be better and play with their feet.
For sure. I always mess around with some of my teammates and say that, oh man, if this was 15 years ago, I'd be playing in the Premier League, but as a joke, obviously. I know that that's an area of my game that I have to make still a lot of improvements on, and I've been working really hard at it. I think, you know, now technically I'm getting a lot better. It's about reading situations and being able to make the right decisions, and not just a good decision, but the best decision. So there's probably three or four decisions that might present themselves. It's like those SAT tests. You got to choose the best one. So learning as we go in that sense, it's a trial and error basis. So there might be some learning curves along the way, which I understand. And it's just about having an open mind and every day being a sponge, learning as much as you can. Like you might have an off day of training, but that's where you got to make a lot of your learning. There's tons of teachable moments in there, and so all you can do is the next day try to learn from your mistakes and get back to it the next day.
Talking to Matt Turner, goalkeeper for the New England Revolution, U.S. men's national team. We're really pleased to have him here on Soccer Matters ESPN. You know, you kind of just talked about the trials and tribulations, and it's a daily thing, and you're learning from things. I mean, it's an exercise in patience, too, for a lot of goalkeepers who have gone on, like yourself now, to kind of emerge. You know, a couple years ago, you were a third-string goalkeeper. We all know the story of Tim Melia and Sporting Kansas City, Joe Willis, who finally became a starter in Houston and now with Nashville. You goalkeepers have to have a level of patience, and boy, you have to be you have to be ready-made for when that opportunity comes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's something that one of my first goalkeeper coaches, you know, ever told me at Fairfield when it was, you know, coming time for me to make a decision on whether to become a professional or not. He sort of guided me and said, look, it's not going to happen for you overnight. You know, you have to understand that some of the best goalkeepers of the world are over 30 and they're entering their prime at those ages. So you have to understand that there's going to be those trials and tribulations. You're going to have to go through ups and downs. You're going to have to go on loan and play games and do things to, you know, sort of make it happen for yourself. And, you know, soccer takes you where it wants to take you. You just have to always be ready for those hills and valleys. And I think to be able to level those hills and valleys off is something that a guy like Joe Willis, a guy like Tim Melia, they've done those things really, really well in the course of their careers and found themselves making a pretty dang good career out of it.
Matt Turner helped lead the Revolution to the Eastern Conference Final this year. Tremendous playoff run. What a ride that was, as you had mentioned. Your first opportunity in New England was with Brad Friedel. What do you take away from him when he was working with you as a goalkeeper coach? I know he was the head coach of the team, but I'm sure he imparted a few lines of wisdom on you.
For sure. For sure. He always said that goalkeeping is jokingly that goalkeeper is the easiest position in the world. All you got to do is keep the ball out of the net. And he of all people understands that it's a little bit more than that, but he definitely helped me in a lot of ways. He challenged me mentally. How can I affect the game in ways instead of being so passive in certain moments, coming off my line a little bit more. But overall, I think the biggest thing that I'll take away from my time with Brad is something he said to me about failure and making mistakes. And he said that if you look around the world, all the best goalkeepers, all the top goalkeepers, they make mistakes. He said it a little more harshly than that. But with a little more foul language, but you know, the point stood, everybody messes up. But the, what separates, you know, the great ones from the good ones is that they just put that in the past and they move on and they don't let that affect three or four actions after that. Cause as a goalkeeper, you might get 40 actions in a game. And if you let, you know, one mistake carry on through, you know, 10 actions, you know, that's like a whole quarter of the game where you're just not in it mentally. So to be able to put mistakes behind you, understanding that everybody does it, and the best ones are the ones that can move on from it faster, was definitely a huge piece of advice that he gave me.
So World Cup 2010, I know, was a big inspiration for you. And here you are 11 years later, and you're wearing the U.S. men's national team uniform. You're getting prepared to play Trinidad and Tobago. That's a pretty quick 11 years. You know, as much as we say it's an exercise in patience, it is a pretty quick rise. You must be in the most confident place in your career right now.
Sure. I guess you could say that. 11 years, but you say it's a quick rise. I mean, the things that I've gone through in those 11 years are pretty significant. I've had some serious ups and I've had some really, really low lows. And I think for me, it's always trusting that this is what I want to do. This is my passion. Trusting my coaches, goalkeeper coaches, head coaches, coaches from the past, coaches in the future, you know, just always believing in their advice and the wisdom, because I always knew that I was late to soccer. So I always knew that there's something I can learn from somebody who's seen the game more years than I have. And that helped me through these last 11 years. And, you know, hopefully I do get the chance to wear the crest and represent, you know, my country against Trinidad and Tobago on Sunday. That would be a dream come true. So, it's a quick 11 years, but I definitely seen some stuff over those 11 years that maybe not many goalkeepers would have gone through.
Matt, did you ever hit a point where you really questioned, you know, going forward with it? Was there ever absolutely. That deep of a valley?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was times, you know, particularly my first year in New England where I just didn't know if it was all going to be worth it. I thought to myself, you know, it was such a hard challenge physically. It was such a hard challenge mentally. You know, my goalkeeper coach at the time, he wouldn't even let me play with the rest of the team every day. It was just, okay, we finished with the goalkeeper specific work with Bobby Shuttleworth and Brad Knighton. And then he'd put me off to the side of the field with just him. And we just work on technique. And it was some of the hardest stuff I ever had to do, physically and mentally challenging. Cause I never got to, you know, feel like I could show the coaching staff what I could offer on the actual field. And I'm just thinking, you know what, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it? And I kind of had a conversation with my goalkeeper coach, Remy Roy, and said that I was, you know, feeling a little frustrated at the end of the season. And he just told me to trust him. He said he's seen goalkeepers. He knows, you know, he knows what he's doing. And I chose to trust him. And I'm sure not many people would choose to trust in a situation like that. They would make a big stink about things and want to just move somewhere else or go to a different team where they might get a different opportunity. And I stuck it out there in New England because he was the only guy that ever trusted in me to begin with, to give me the opportunity to be a professional. So there's plenty of times where I thought maybe this wasn't for me. Down the stretch of my fourth year or halfway through 2019, I thought maybe, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. Even though I felt like I had already played and done well, I just didn't get the opportunity. I was back to being the third string at the beginning of 2019. And I thought, man, this feels like an impossible hill to climb. Again, you know, to have to do it once is one thing, but to have to do it again as the third string after being a starter the whole year prior, man, what's the point if I'm just going to end up back here again? So there've been some times where I thought maybe this wasn't for me, but at the end of the day, I always trusted that passion that was ignited in 2010. And I always thought about, you know, my reasons of why I love to play the game and why it was so unique compared to every other sport in this world.
And so you kept pulling yourself back to that place.
I was addicted.
Of passion. By the way, a good shout out on the Fairfield University as well. Talking to Matt Turner, New England Revolution, U.S. men's national team. All of this said, Sunday is a big opportunity for up-and-comers, and we would even call you an up-and-comer in this camp as well, even though there's guys like Josie Altidore there. This is a big opportunity to perform live competition, Soka Warriors in front of Greg Berhalter and his staff. And I'm sure that clicks in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know last year I was really disappointed after January camp not to get the opportunity to show him what I could do on the field representing the United States men's national team. So yeah, anytime, any day you step out on the training field and you're wearing the crest, it's a huge opportunity and you need to take it as such. You need to have that intensity, that bite. And what makes Americans American? You have to find that in you and use that to drive you forward and know that you're representing and you're a part of something much, much bigger than yourself with much more history in this game, in this world. And I'm definitely looking forward to the opportunity that presents itself. Hopefully, like I said, I'm on that team sheet and we can right some wrongs. Obviously, we know the history between us and Trinidad and Tobago. And I think guys are not taking this game lightly at all.
Before we let you go, Matt, and again, we wish you the best of luck against Trinidad and Tobago and really appreciate your time. This has really been heartfelt, too. And I think for young goalkeepers and goalkeepers in the game at differing levels, this is a very inspirational interview as well. Last thing, and I promise to ask you, okay, your favorite band as we close out this interview.
My favorite band, oof. Man, I could go a lot of ways. I'm a big fan of lots of different types of music, but I definitely got into Motley Crue in the last few years. So I'm big into them, and I was really disappointed when their tour got postponed because they were coming to Fenway Park in Boston. So would have been dope to be able to see them out there. But and I had the weekend off, so it would have been I would have really been able to enjoy it.
I wasn't ready for Motley Crue, I'm going to tell you. I was thinking maybe some classic rock. You know, I know you're an East Coast guy. So yeah. Anyway, that's a great one. Thanks for making us all laugh and smile at the end here. Best of luck again against Trinidad and Tobago, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
That'll do it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 tonight. A big thank you to Aaron Raybould producing tonight, to all of our guests, Tab Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Eddie Robinson, color analyst for the Dynamo, former defender, Also, Matt Turner, goalkeeper for the United States men's national team, and the Red Rocker himself. Yes, I've just nicknamed Tim Parker, our center back for the Houston Dynamo. We thank him as well. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, podcast, podcastarena.com. Also, you can get them at Spotify and on iTunes. Head over to glenndavissoccer.com. That'll do it tonight. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in.
ESPN 97.5. Baseball.